Right? What a day that will be. Prayer meeting and for Friend Day tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm praying that we'll have visitors tomorrow and that those that don't know the Lord, the Holy Spirit will speak into their heart and into their life. And I'm praying that tomorrow we might see some of them saved. Amen. Take your Bible tonight and turn with me to Psalm 55. As the choir sang this evening, one of the phrases that they sang was the privilege of coming before the Lord in prayer. And that's the title of my message tonight, the privilege of prayer, the privilege that we have in prayer. And I want to come at that thought by examining this moment in the life of David, Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof, mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have rid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them. And let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. But as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you tonight, we read this heavy, heavy psalm. And we know just from the words that David's soul is in anguish. He's crying out to you. Lord, teach us a lesson tonight about how we too can cry out to you. You're a God hearing and a God answering prayer. Lord, would you speak to us from this experience in David's life and communicate this lesson to our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In David's life, Psalm 55 is such a momentous occasion. Every commentator that I read and study, and by the way, I do read and study because I think it's important that we understand the context. We're talking about a real man and a real life experience. And I think it's important that we try to understand what is going on in David's life that brought him to this place. And then from his response, learn something for our own lives. And every commentator that I study, and I certainly believe in my own personal understanding, that Psalm 55 is written just before Absalom's great rebellion. David doesn't understand all that is about to take place, but he knows that events are moving quickly and that treachery is being accomplished and deceit is being accomplished. And he knows that those that he has trusted have turned against him. And he is in a serious moment trying to figure out what it is that he is about to do or what he needs to do. He speaks in verse 3, notice it, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. I believe he's referring to Absalom. And if we just said Absalom was going to rebel against him, then maybe we wouldn't get the full understanding, but we have to understand something about Absalom. Absalom felt like he was being cheated by his father because he was not being chosen to be king. One younger than him was being chosen to be king. Solomon was going to be made king, and Absalom is chafing in that and sincerely, I believe, hates his father for the choice that is being made and is rebelling against his father because of the direction that his father is going. David speaks of being overwhelmed in fear. Look at verse 4 and 5. My heart is sore pained within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. You ever been at a point in your life where you just felt overwhelmed? You didn't know which way to turn. You didn't know what course to take. You knew you didn't want to fight with your son. You didn't want to have your own son arrested. You didn't want to have your own son killed. Even to the end of this entire event, David will plead for the life of his son. I'll tell you what I'm convinced of. When the baby died that he and Bathsheba had conceived in sin, after that baby died, David got up. He had prayed and fasted the baby would live. But when the baby died, David made a statement that said, he can't come back to me, but I'll go to him. I believe he was confident that young child, we don't know that child's name, but that young child was going to be in the presence of God and David would go to him when David would step into the presence of God. You know why I think he pleaded so long for Absalom? Because I don't think he believed Absalom was saved. And I don't believe he thought he would ever see Absalom out of this life. And I believe he hoped and hoped and hoped and hoped that his rebellious son would repent and turn to the Lord. Of course, Joab ended that by killing Absalom. But he's trembling. He's in fear. How do you go against one that you love and that you don't believe is right with God and you want to see them get right with God? How do you go against that? He's overwhelmed by this circumstance. He says in verse 6, boy, if I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. You ever felt like that? Man, I wish I could get out of this circumstance. I wish I didn't have to face that thing tomorrow. I wish I didn't have to face those people tomorrow. I wish there was some way that I could just escape this circumstance. Can I just remind you that our world lives trying to escape from anything difficult and anything hurtful, and they find that escape at the bottom of a bottle, or maybe they find that escape in some drug that they pump into their arm. Boy, I'm just telling you, it is a natural human reaction to just want to escape from those difficult moments. And David said, if I had wings, I might be tempted to fly away, to get away from this circumstance. Let me show you one of the most hurtful things. Go down to verse 12. Yes. I told you I would turn it on and I lied. I know it is. Could you hear me? Because I'll start over. I'm always willing to do that. I apologize. That was not the sound desk's fault. That was my fault. I told her I would turn it on and I didn't. Thank you for reminding me, preacher. Now go to verse 12.
Now I can yell even louder. Amen. Look at verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, mine guide and my acquaintance. Can I remind you of something that took place in the midst of all this with Absalom? I don't believe those verses are referring to Absalom, his son. I believe they're referring to one of his best friends, Ahithophel. Ahithophel was a close associate, a man of God who had stood with David for years, but there was something seething in Ahithophel's heart. Do you know what it was? Ahithophel had a granddaughter. His granddaughter's name was Bathsheba. And David had corrupted her life and corrupted that home. And Ahithophel knew the plot against Uriah. Those things weren't done. They were done as privately as David could, but people knew what he had done. And I believe fully in my heart that Ahithophel was bitter against David. And when the opportunity came to strike into David's family, like Ahithophel felt David had struck into his family, he did. And he aligned himself with Absalom and assisted in the rebellion against Absalom. And David is in this place where his own son has turned against him. His best friend has turned against him. If he had wings, he would fly away. He doesn't know. How do you deal with a circumstance like this? Have you ever had a circumstance in your life where you just said, what do you do with this? You can't fly away. What do you do? What do you do when you're at the end of yourself? What do you do when there's nowhere to turn? What do you do? What do you do? What do? You do what you should have done at the beginning. And I love David's response. David is a king. David has an army. David could have just said, kill him. Now, there would have been a battle because Absalom had raised an army and Ahithophel was an influential man, but he could have just said, kill him. But before he tried to manipulate it, before he tried to dictate the results and manipulate the outcome, you know what David decided to do? I'm going to pray. I'm going to take this to the Lord. I love what he says again in verses 1 and 2. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. Hear me. I mourn in my complaint and I make a noise. Man, I'm weeping. I'm almost retching, if you will. I make a noise. I'm so concerned. Go down to verse 16. As for me, when I am faced with these overwhelming things, as for me, I will call upon God. And the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And notice verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I want you to notice four things that we can learn from David's experience. Here's number one. Praying allows us access to God Almighty. Praying allows us access to God Almighty. He is going to call upon God. That word prayer means literally to entreat. He is going to plead with God. When we pray, we are in reality addressing the Creator of the universe. Well, there are some important people in this world that I would love to have a few minutes with, wouldn't you? I'd love to have a few minutes with our president. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'd love to share the gospel with him. I'd love to try to give him some wise counsel. I mean that. But as amazing as it is, I can't get an appointment with him. You would think he would want to see me, wouldn't you? I'd love to speak with the governor of our state. I don't understand how you can be the governor of North Carolina and try to institute abortion on demand. I'd love to have a conversation with him. I can't get an appointment with him. I could go on and on and on with presidents of industry and presidents of hedge funds and banking institutions. I'd love to sit down and talk with them. I can't get an appointment with them. But I want to tell you, at any time I want, I can get an appointment and talk personally with the Creator of the universe. When we as Christians pray, we don't pray to some anonymous force or some idol of wood or stone. We speak personally with the God of this universe who in love created us, the God who knows my circumstances, the God who already knows that I am facing a rebellious son and a friend who has been wounded and who is now turning and forsaking me and our friendship. I'm talking to a God who already knows Absalom himself. I'm talking to a God who already knows the hurt in Ahithophel's heart. I'm talking to the God who knows. I'm talking to a God who is a supernatural God who is able to work in their hearts and my hearts. Prayer literally brings me into the presence of the one and the only one who can work and who knows all about all that I am facing. Sometimes I think we think that God is some impersonal force and that God has to be persuaded by us or manipulated by us. That is simply not true. We talk to the God who knows where we are, knows the hurt in our heart, and the hurt in the heart of those that we are asking Him to deal with. God knows. I would remind you that God is able. Do you believe that? God is able. I know I've preached that here before, that word able means dunami. It is the word dunami. It means great power. It means that with God, everything is possible. And so I want you to understand something. When David says, I'm going to call out to God, I'm going to entreat God, and I'm going to call out to God about Absalom, and I'm going to call out to God about Ahithophel, and I'm going to call out to God about this event that I am overwhelmed in. It is not that David only says, God, kill him. David is saying, God, you know him. You know the absolutely crushing burden in their heart. You know the way that perhaps I've not dealt with it as I should have in all these cases. God, I'm calling out to you who can do the impossible. Will you change Absalom's heart? Will you work in Absalom's life? Will you work in Ahithophel's heart? Will you work in his life? Will you heal their hurts? Will you help them to see what needs to be done? And the God who is able, the God who can do the impossible, can do what we could never do. Sometimes we forget that. That God loves Absalom. And God loves Ahithophel. Did you know that God loves the lost people that live on our street? Man, I don't understand all their weird pink hair. I don't understand why they got piercings all over. I don't understand why they think that abortion is a legitimate answer. I don't understand why they can't get whether they're men or women or women or men or whatever. I don't understand all that. And sometimes I think the solution is to get rid of them. That's never the solution. The solution is for God to work in their heart and change their hearts. And when I call out to God, I'm calling out to the one who created them. And I'm calling out to the one who understands them and knows them. And can I remind you of this? Loves them. Loves that rebellious boy more than David loved that rebellious boy. Loved that treacherous friend more than David loved that treacherous friend. And I'm calling out to you, God. You, the one who knows. You, the one who is able to change their heart. I'm calling out to you. You, the one who can open the way to me and show me the way to go. I'm calling out to you. I'm not going to manage the situation. I'm not going to manipulate it. I'm not going to dictate it. I'm not going to do what a king can do. I'm going to do what a servant of God must do. And I'm going to ask you, will you work? Here's the second thing we can learn, that prayer is available to every believer. Again, I love what David says in verse 16. As for me, I will call upon the Lord. Wait a minute, David, you're a king. Don't you mean as for a king, you will do what a king can do? You will do what only you can do? No, as for me, I will call upon the Lord. Every one of us in this room who are a believer tonight have access to the Lord. We don't have to have some title. You don't have to be Pastor Peace to pray. You don't have to be, I carry a title, I never use it, Dr. Edwards. From now on, when you refer to me, you refer to me as the High Reverend Dr. Edwards. That's silly. That doesn't put me any more in touch with God than you. David said, as for me, I will call upon the Lord. Every believer in this room has the right, the privilege to go before the Lord and present their concerns to the Lord. Listen, some of the greatest prayers in the Word of God were not prayed by kings or priests or even prophets. They were prayed by people, just people. Hannah wanted a son so bad, she poured out her heart, and Eli thought, man, as he watched that passionate prayer, that he was watching a drunken woman. No, he was watching a passionate woman. And to be honest with you, can I let you in on this? We talk about Hannah tonight, not because of Hannah, but because her prayer was answered, and she had a baby boy named Samuel. Well, we know about Hannah's prayer, because God answered it and gave her that boy Samuel, who became a great priest, who became a great prophet, who became a great judge, and had a mommy named Hannah. Hannah wasn't special. Oh, she was. She's just a lady like all the ladies at Faith Baptist Church. Just a lady that got a hold of the heart of God and God answered her prayer. I'm just telling you, whatever your name is, you're as special as Hannah. And you're as privileged as Hannah. And you can get a hold of God's heart for a need in your life, for the need in a loved one in your life. You can get a hold of God's heart. I think of that publican. I love that publican. Man, there was a Pharisee in the square with the publican, and that Pharisee, boy, when he prayed, he trotted out all of the particulars that were so grand in his life. And the publican wouldn't even lift his head. Just prayed, oh God, would you be merciful to a sinner like me? Do you know we still don't know that publican's name? But we know God answered his prayer. I could take you to a dying thief on a cross. And you talk about a privileged man. Whoa, I can see why God would answer. Really? He was a thief who was being executed by capital punishment. But he got a hold of God's heart. And he saw who Jesus was. And from a humbled heart and a broken heart, he cries out, "Will you remember me?" And you know why we know about that dying thief today? Because God answered his prayer. Hey, listen, I don't know everybody's name in this room, and the only reason you know me is because preacher has me back to preach every once in a while and tells you my name, but you don't know me because there's nothing special about me. But that doesn't hinder me from calling out to the Lord. That doesn't hinder me from going into the throne room of God, because every believer, every child of God, not based on our performance, but based on the blood of Jesus Christ, we have access to the throne of God. And I can pray for my grandchildren. I can pray for my wife. I can pray for those that I minister to. I can pray for those that I've hurt. You say, "You've hurt people?" No, I've done it all perfectly all my life. Of course not. I've hurt Ahithophels. I've given my sons a reason to be rebellious or to wonder why I would do that. I've hurt friends. But I can pray. I can go to the Lord. I have the privilege of going into his throne room and saying, "God, will you work in my son's life? Will you work in my grandson's life? Will you work in my wife's life? God, I'm going to preach on Sunday, October 1st at Faith Baptist Church. God, there may be lost people in that room. God, I don't know them, but will you work in their heart?" And the only way you'll know that something happened was maybe somebody will get saved. And all of us have that privilege. Your name doesn't have to be David. Your title doesn't have to be pastor. Your pedigree doesn't have to be Independent Baptist. You just got to be one of God's kids. I love then David does this. He anticipates that God's going to answer his prayer. Look again in verse 16. "As for me, I'll call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Well, that's rather presumptuous. You mean you think God will answer your prayer? David says, "Yeah, I really do. I believe God will answer prayer because God is a prayer-answering God." Well, David, who are you to think that God will answer your prayer? You're the one who has created this problem. You're not worthy to pray, David. And you know what David would say to that? "You're right. But I serve a gracious and merciful God, whom when I confessed my sin, cleansed me, restored me, returned the joy of my salvation to me. And I don't come to the Lord and pray and expect him to answer because I merit an answer. I come and know that God will hear my prayer and answer because God is who he is. And God loves me. And God loves you. And God loves the people we pray for. And God will answer." Listen, God is able to answer. Prayer has the ability to unleash the supernatural in this natural world. Well, how is God going to open a way for you, David? I mean, you're going to run out of Jerusalem. Absalom has raised an army. Ahithophel has forsaken you. How is God going to do it? I don't know how God's going to do it. It's kind of an exciting life to live and see how God's going to work. It's this thing by faith. You see, that's why we're not all that excited about prayer. We'd rather manipulate it ourselves. Dave said, I'm not going to do it. God will save me. Now, what's that word save mean? David is not saying God will born me again. David is saying God's going to open me a way. I don't have much more time, but can I remind you that it wasn't an easy answer? David had to go across the Brook Kidron, and he and his wives and his children, and they escaped and were in the Judean wilderness, and they were running for some time from Absalom. But can I remind you how it turned out? David is still king and on his throne because God was able to open a way for him. God saved him. God delivered him. Here's the last thing I'd say. Our prayer changes things and changes people. That's what I love in verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. David found that out in the wilderness. If we had time, we'd go preach again Psalm 63, where now David has run to the wilderness, hiding from Absalom, and yet his first reaction in the wilderness is to seek God early again and to praise God in the wilderness. And we don't have time to go through all of it, but Absalom is defeated. Ahithophel removes himself. And David is returned to his throne. Because God can sustain us. And because God will, notice this, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Paul once said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. He wrote that to the people of Thessalonica. And he just simply said this, will you pray for us? And pray that God will do what only God can do. Paul, and I don't have a lot of time, but Thessalonica, that letter to the Thessalonians was the first letter that he wrote. And man, he had been through it. He had been through it at Philippi and then been through it at Thessalonica. And he writes back to them and he prays, listen, it's incredible to see what God has done. Look at the church in Philippi. Look at the church now at Thessalonica. And here's what I'm praying for you. As we continue from Corinth and we go to other places and other cities, pray that God works. Well, how can we pray for here that God will work there? Because God can change people and God can change circumstances. God is able to do that. God can change the circumstances and the people that you invited. Did you know that they may already be deciding they're not going to come tomorrow? But praying tonight can change providentially their mind and they'll come. Well, they may come, but they're not going to get saved. They're really hard. Well, pray because God can change their heart. We can pray here and God can change them there. All I'm saying is Paul understood that and David understood that. I don't have to be present to pray because God is present. And I can pray and ask God, will you work in their heart? Will you work in their home? Will you work in their life? And Lord, will you bring them to this place so that when they hear the gospel, they can be saved? Prayer is a powerful privilege that we have. We can call out to the God who understands and knows everything. We can call out to a God who is able to change and able to work in miraculous ways. We can call out to a God and ask him to work in ways that we cannot even understand, to do things in hearts that we don't even need to be done. And that's our privilege, and that's our responsibility. Again, I wish I had a little more time, but David understood that in the midst of this difficult circumstance, There was no way he could manipulate and do what only God could do. And he made the decision, I'm going to call out to the Lord. We have that right tonight as well. Call out to the Lord. Do you have a circumstance in your life that's overwhelming? Maybe you have a child that's away. Maybe you have a problem in your home. Maybe you have a grandchild. You can call out to the Lord and ask the Lord to work. And God, who knows more about the heart than you'll ever know, can work in those lives, and he can change the direction of those lives. Let's pray. Father,